Welcome to your GCSE Biology Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor, and today we're diving into one of the most important topics in your specification, transport systems. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final check before your exam, this episode will walk you through everything you need to know, clearly, confidently, and with the exam firmly in mind. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. Let's begin with the fundamentals. How substances actually move in and out of cells. There are three key processes you absolutely must know: diffusion, osmosis, and active transport. Diffusion is the simplest. It's the net movement of particles from an area of high concentration to an area of low concentration. In other words, down a concentration gradient. And here's the key word: passive. Diffusion requires no energy. Particles just spread out naturally, like the smell of cooking drifting from the kitchen into the hallway. In biology, oxygen diffuses from the lungs into the blood, and carbon dioxide diffuses the other way. Examiners love to ask you to describe diffusion. Always use the phrase down a concentration gradient, and always say it's a passive process. Those 2 points alone can earn you 2 marks. Now, osmosis is a special type of diffusion, but it only applies to water. Osmosis is the movement of water molecules from a region of high water potential to a region of low water potential through a selectively permeable membrane. Let me break that down. Water potential is basically how watery a solution is. Pure water has the highest water potential. Add solutes like sugar or salt, and the water potential drops. So water always moves toward the more concentrated solution. If you put a plant cell in pure water, water moves in and the cell becomes turgid, firm and swollen. Put it in a very concentrated salt solution and water moves out, the cell shrinks, and we call that plasmolysis. Candidates frequently lose marks here by forgetting to mention water potential or the selectively permeable membrane. Always include both. Active transport is the third process, and it's the odd one out because it requires energy. Active transport moves substances against a concentration gradient from low concentration to high concentration. This is how root hair cells absorb mineral ions from the soil, even when the concentration of minerals in the soil is lower than inside the root. The energy comes from respiration, specifically ATP. Examiners will test whether you know that active transport requires energy and moves substances against a concentration gradient. Don't confuse it with diffusion. That's one of the most common errors in the exam. Now, why do multicellular organisms need transport systems at all? The answer lies in the surface area to volume ratio. As an organism gets bigger, its volume increases much faster than its surface area. This means diffusion alone can't supply all the cells deep inside the body quickly enough. A single-celled organism like an amoeba is fine. Everything can diffuse in and out directly. But a human being? We need specialized transport systems. This is a classic exam question. Explain why multicellular organisms need a transport system. Your answer must mention the surface area to volume ratio decreasing as size increases, meaning diffusion distances become too large. Let's move on to the human circulatory system. Humans have what we call a double circulatory system. That means blood passes through the heart twice in one complete circuit of the body. In the first circuit, blood travels from the heart to the lungs to pick up oxygen, then returns to the heart. In the second circuit, blood is pumped from the heart to the rest of the body, delivers oxygen to tissues, and returns to the heart again. This is more efficient than a single circulatory system because the heart can repressurize the blood before sending it to the body, maintaining a high pressure for efficient delivery. A very common mistake, and this costs candidates marks every year, is saying the blood passes through the heart only once. It passes through twice. Once through the right side, once through the left side. Remember, right side pumps to the lungs, left side pumps to the body. Now let's talk about blood vessels. There are three types: arteries, veins, and capillaries. Arteries carry blood away from the heart. Remember, A for away. They have thick, muscular, elastic walls to withstand the high pressure of blood being pumped out of the heart. Their lumen, that's the hollow center, is relatively narrow. Veins carry blood back to the heart. The pressure is lower, so the walls are thinner. Veins have a wider lumen, and crucially, they contain valves to prevent blood flowing backwards. Capillaries are the tiny vessels that connect arteries to veins. They're only one cell thick. That's their key adaptation. This thin wall means substances like oxygen and glucose can diffuse quickly in and out of the blood and into surrounding tissues. If an exam question asks you to link the structure of a capillary to its function, always say, "The wall is only one cell thick, which reduces the diffusion distance, allowing rapid exchange of substances." Blood itself is made up of four components. Plasma is the liquid part. It transports dissolved substances like glucose, hormones, carbon dioxide, and urea. Red blood cells carry oxygen. They're adapted in several ways. They have a biconcave disc shape to increase surface area. They contain hemoglobin, which binds to oxygen. And they have no nucleus, which makes more room for hemoglobin. White blood cells are part of the immune system. They fight infection by engulfing pathogens or producing antibodies. Platelets are tiny cell fragments that help blood clot when you have a wound. Now let's switch to plants. Plants have two transport systems, xylem and phloem. Xylem carries water and dissolved mineral ions from the roots up to the leaves and stems. The movement is always upward. Xylem vessels are dead cells. They have no living contents, just a hollow tube reinforced with lignin. Water moves through xylem by a process called transpiration pull. As water evaporates from the leaves through the stomata, it creates a tension that pulls more water up from the roots. Think of it like sucking through a straw. The suction at the top pulls liquid up from below. Phloem is different. It carries dissolved sugars, mainly sucrose, made during photosynthesis in the leaves, to all other parts of the plant that need them. This movement is called translocation, and unlike xylem, it can go in both directions, up and down. Phloem cells are alive and contain cytoplasm. A very common exam error is confusing xylem and phloem. Here's a memory trick. Xylem, think of the X as a cross like a dead cell and it carries water. Phloem, think of flow and phloem and it carries food, sugars from photosynthesis. Transpiration is the evaporation of water from the leaves of a plant, mainly through the stomata. The rate of transpiration is affected by several factors. Higher light intensity causes stomata to open wider, increasing transpiration. Higher temperature increases the rate of evaporation of water molecules, so transpiration increases. Increased air movement, wind, carries water vapor away from the leaf surface, maintaining a concentration gradient, so transpiration increases. Higher humidity reduces the concentration gradient between the inside of the leaf and the outside air, so transpiration decreases. Stomata are tiny pores on the underside of leaves. They are surrounded by guard cells, which control whether the stomata are open or closed. In the light, guard cells take up water by osmosis, become turgid, and the stomata open. In the dark, guard cells lose water, become flaccid, and the stomata close. This is a brilliant adaptation. Plants open their stomata during the day to allow gas exchange for photosynthesis and close them at night to reduce water loss. Now let's talk exam technique. This topic comes up in virtually every GCSE biology paper, so getting it right is essential. First, command words. If a question says state, give a brief, factual answer, one or two words or a short phrase. If the question says explain, you must say how or why. Use the word because to link cause and effect. If the question says describe, say what happens. Use correct terminology, but you don't need to explain the mechanism unless asked. Second, always use precise language. Don't say moves to where there's less of it. Say moves down a concentration gradient. Don't say needs energy for active transport. Say requires energy from respiration. Examiners are looking for specific scientific vocabulary, and vague language will not earn marks. Third, when answering questions about adaptations, always use the structure. Feature, function, benefit. For example, red blood cells have a biconcave disc shape, which increases their surface area, allowing more oxygen to be absorbed. Fourth, for transpiration questions, be careful about the direction of effect. More wind means more transpiration. More humidity means less transpiration. Think about it logically. If the air around the leaf is already saturated with water vapor, there's less of a gradient, so less water evaporates. Right, let's test your knowledge with a quick-fire quiz. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, then give you the answer. Question 1. What is the definition of osmosis? Think about it. Osmosis is the movement of water molecules from a region of high water potential to a region of low water potential through a selectively permeable membrane. Question 2. Which blood vessel carries blood away from the heart? Think arteries carry blood away from the heart? Question 3. What is the function of phloem? Think phloem carries dissolved sugars, sucrose, from the leaves to all other parts of the plant. This is called translocation. Question 4. Name 2 factors that increase the rate of transpiration. Think. Higher light intensity and higher temperature both increase transpiration. Air movement also increases it. Question 5. Why do multicellular organisms need a transport system? Think. Because as organisms increase in size, their surface area to volume ratio decreases, meaning diffusion alone cannot supply all cells quickly enough. How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and review that section and try writing the answers out from memory. That's the most effective way to revise. Let's wrap up with the key points to take away from today's episode. 1. Diffusion is passive, down a concentration gradient. Osmosis is the diffusion of water through a selectively permeable membrane from high to low water potential. Active transport requires energy and moves substances against a concentration gradient. 2. Multicellular organisms need transport systems because their surface area to volume ratio is too small for diffusion alone. 3. The human double circulatory system passes blood through the heart twice, right side to lungs, left side to body. 4. Arteries have thick walls and narrow lumens. Veins have thin walls, wide lumens, and valves. Capillaries are one cell thick for efficient diffusion. 5. Xylem carries water upward. Phloem carries sugars in both directions. This is translocation. 6. Transpiration increases with light, heat, and wind. Guard cells control stomata opening. That's everything for today's episode on transport systems. You've covered a huge amount of ground, from the movement of individual molecules across cell membranes, all the way to the circulatory system and plant transport. Make sure you revisit your diagrams, practice labeling the heart and leaf cross sections, and try those exam questions under time conditions. You've got this. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.